This episode of Mascot Diaries is brought to you by Engineered to Entertain. From mascot championship rings to popcorn guns and giant mascot cell phones, Engineered to Entertain.
Dear Diary, today I interview Jacob. He's four different mascots: an NFL mascot, AHL, arena football, and minor league baseball. He also started his own company where he makes mascot props, Engineered to Entertain. Check it out. So, how are you?
Not too bad. Yourself?
I'm good. On your end, you're okay?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, but I think it's more of my Time Warner cable acting up than it's your, not much I'll be able to do about that.
Alrighty, let me know, because you're coming in fine and I'm recording on mic. Just let me know if you need me to repeat anything and I can always edit. So it's fine.
Sounds good.
Sound good? Alrighty. So how long have you been a mascot?
6 years.
And how did you become a mascot?
So I started in college and I just had I think it's like the most common story is you have a cheerleader ask you to do it. That may or may not be physically attractive. And then you get roped into it. And for me is at first is like, this is an easy scholarship, some easy ways to make some additional money. And then you find out like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done. And I just never quit doing it. So my degree is in mechanical engineering, and, most of my family kind of shakes their head when they realize that I'm not really an engineer per se for a company, but dress like animals for a living.
So you were a college mascot and then you caught the mascot bug, right? So how did that continue?
I'm still currently running a high mascot fever.
Yes.
I work four different part-time gigs. I work for an AHL hockey team as well as an arena football team. And then and, my main primary income is working for an NFL team.
And how do you handle that? Like, how do you juggle all of those jobs?
it's an organized chaos. I have a calendar. It's kind of first come, first serve, who puts a request in. Mm-hmm. More often than not, I try to keep my dates open for my NFL team. Mm-hmm. One of my biggest pet peeves is when, like, a couple of my minor league teams will put, submit a request for an event that's 3 months from now. And I know for a fact that date, especially if it's a Friday or Saturday, I'll get something that's better paying through the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I have to politely decline their event. So I just keep all the dates on my phone, and, most teams understand I work so many other gigs.
Yeah.
So that a list at the beginning of the month, and I kind of just cross-reference each one and say which time frames I'm available. More often than not, like, a day will consist of four or five different events. Sometimes it's for all four different teams. That's where it gets really entertaining.
Wow.
It's keeps me busy.
So do you have a backup to help you out for any of those teams, or it's just you?
Every single team has a backup.
Oh, okay.
So I am the primary for the minor league team and the NFL team. And then we have, a list. We have basically an army of guys who fill in where need be.
Yeah.
The city I'm in, we have a lot of guys doing what I'm doing, where we have some full-time guys. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're all striving to do, is get a full-time gig. But I'm in a city where we have a lot of pro teams, a lot of minor league teams. So there's a lot of 20-something guys like me that are all fighting for fighting for the opportunities to get in suit and act like a fool.
I see so many mascots for other cities and states. I don't know. I'm in LA and I just know of like the main three over here, and minus the minor leagues. I guess they're kind of far out for me. I just think it's crazy. You guys have so many teams and you guys have your events that I love to see, where everyone comes together and it's like all the mascots are at that one game for so-and-so's birthday or whatever special event it is. And then I've talked to a few of you where you're several different mascots, and I was like, wait, so how are you all in the same place at once? So
it gets confusing. Yeah. It's like, especially when we have mascot birthdays.
Yeah.
Which nothing compares to, like, the mascot family. And that's the highlight of my career. My favorite days are when we can all get together. especially like when I'm traveling and move go to different cities and meet up with my friends. But yeah, it's a very impressive juggle. And then when you look at like actual minor league teams, you know, like everyone's aware of the big three or four of their professional teams. Mm-hmm. But then more often than not, I know, especially where I'm at, there's like six different farm teams all within 2 hours, you know, of minor league baseball teams or minor league hockey teams. So when you look at the greater network of different guys who can come out to your mascot birthday, it's like, holy cow, there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mascots around you. So
when you go to these mascot events, I don't know if you can talk about this, but so it's like, you know, everyone, right? I don't know if you're all in a locker room or whatever and a room together, and like you take off obviously like the helmet and then you know each other. Is that like the thing that, cause yeah, it's like a secret society. Like, I don't know.
It's a secret society. For the people in the know, we call it the fraternity.
Oh, wow.
And we all know each other. It's funny because especially if there's a guy that might have a backup or some characters that are portrayed by different guys, you know, you can, while you're in suit, you might see them, but like maybe they showed up different times. So you don't necessarily know who's in that suit. But then as soon as you get in the locker room, like, I knew it was you, Ed. You know, long time no see, brother. And then we all go out afterwards and share a bunch of adult beverages and party our butts off. So
that's awesome. So you mentioned that, you know, a few people that you work with know that you do all these different gigs. So, you know, scheduling and stuff, but of your family, of your friends, who knows that you're a mascot?
I think, just by word of mouth, a lot of people like I went to college with or high school with, like I just actually, you know, went to my hometown, for an ugly Christmas sweater party two nights ago, and everyone kind of knew, hey, he works in a bunch of different, apparently that guy's a mascot nowadays, you know, and that's, I try not to spill too many beans, but a lot of my family and friends get the gist that I dress up like animals for a living. They might not know who I do it for, cause like I said, we have a lot of teams up here, but they know, they get an idea of what I do. And that's a majority of my family and friends. And then my close friends all know exactly who I am. And like my immediate family knows exactly who I am.
That's so cool. And I don't know, like mascotting is, it's, I guess you have to like be in it to like know what's out there. Recently, you know, starting this podcast and me being, I just like mascots before, but now doing this podcast, I'm doing more research. You know, I'm looking up the costume companies. There are a ton of companies that make mascot suits and stuff. And, you know, and you all mm-hmm. hear about, you know, the pros and cons and who to go with. But mascotting has kind of taken you on this journey to your career. I don't know if you want to get into that.
So on the side, what I do is I manufacture props and fun little doohickeys for mascots and sports companies in general. You know, not necessarily for mascots, but I also build stuff on the side. And that's kind of what I do with my engineering degree. So I do a lot of 3D modeling and 3D printing. My most successful products have been my championship rings.
Yeah, I saw this.
Like if you look at the Denver Broncos that bought for me, the Colts that bought for me, the Cleveland out in Cleveland, the Cavaliers bought two rings from me, and also they're under the same ownership is their hockey team, and they bought a ring from me. A handful of D League teams. So yeah, that's what I do. That's been the most popular, but I also make popcorn guns.
Oh yeah,
that's something that was I was going to patent it, but then I realized patents are really expensive. So, oh man. I have popcorn guns that I've sold to like Chicago Bears. So yeah, by word of mouth, I just started it like in my guest bedroom and it kind of has slowly taken off.
So what was your motivation? Sorry. What was your motivation behind starting that company? I mean, was it just you couldn't find something for yourself or?
In college, when I was strictly just a college mascot, mm-hmm. I had a lot of free time. I would build, like I always thought it was funny to build cool props for my character. So one day when the iPhone 6 came out, I made sure that my character had the brand new iPhone 6. It was just 12 times the size. And everyone goes, wow, you know, this is really detailed. And that's what planted the seed, because people were like, you know, you could patent this. And, you know, I was like, okay, I doubt I'm going to patent a giant cell phone. But they're like, you should make these for other teams. You know, these are really cool. And I kind of, especially when I went to mascot camp, I realized like their cell phones are made out of cardboard. Mine have 3D printed parts and are, you know, legit. Mine can withstand a beating. And actually I have cameras on mine where they actually flash, you know.
That's so awesome.
Mine are pretty high end and a little more complicated than your cardboard variety prop that you might see a lot of college mascots carry around. So I just kind of, I was slowly building for them. And then I went to some mascot camps. People started saying, hey, we'd like to buy this stuff off you. We like what you do. And then one thing led to another. And I said, well, I might as well make it official and come up with something. So that's where that.
And so how's your marketing? Like, how do you get your product out to like mascots besides like word of mouth and like mascot camp? Or was that pretty much it?
That's pretty much it. Word of mouth is especially when you're a tight-knit fraternity. Because as soon as I sold my first ring, like 8 teams found out about it, you know, and I was getting emails from people I didn't even know, from teams like the Pittsburgh Penguins. I have no idea I have no connections out in Pittsburgh. And, they got my personal email from, a local mascot friend and said, hey, you know, we just won the Stanley Cup for our fourth time. Can you make us a really cool ring? And that's basically has happened like 8 or 9 times. but it's also like anytime there's a mascot birthday party or, I actually have been to, for the NFL, I went to the mascot summit, where like all the NFL guys get together and I kind of pitched myself there. I was lucky enough to go to the mascot games, which I don't know if you've ever covered that or looked into that. That's one of the greatest things I've ever been to. That's what, you know, a lot of guys are interested in that. So you just slowly build an underground network and meet more and more mascots and they kind of talk about you and word just spreads.
Yeah, that's awesome. You can, you know, give out your company now and again, we'll touch on it later if you want.
So it's Engineered to Entertain and my name's Jacob. Do we even say my name? I feel safe giving out my name. So oh, I'm okay. Jacob. I am an employee in my company. I am the engineer, entrepreneur, president, and janitor. So you can follow me on Instagram at Engineered to Entertain. And then Twitter kind of limits your handle. So I was really upset about that. But it's ENGR, the number 2, Entertain.
Awesome. And you can shout those out again at the end. I want to go over a few things and I'll post the link with the episode, but I just want to make sure that we get your information out there. Awesome. I love that aspect of making props and stuff for mascots because it's definitely, you know, like it has to be bigger, obviously, like it has to be custom made. And unless you're doing it yourself, you know, or you know someone that can like help you out, you know, like you got to go through these companies and stuff. So that's really cool that you do that. And I just wanted to go back to like bring it around back to the mascotting. So if you have some highlights or some funny stories.
So the network, like I said, of all my friends and, you know, some of these people I only see 2 or 3 times a year, but generally when I travel and meet my buddies across state lines, those are some of my fondest memories. Like the mascot games, that's in Orlando, Florida. That was probably one of the greatest weekends of my life. And I never thought I would be so irresponsible and have so much fun in the evening hours until then I went to the mascot summit a month later. So that's, you know, traveling is always cool. I guess probably one of my coolest stories, if you're aware of Travis Pastrana, the motocross rider, and he's part of Nitro Circus on MTV. He was promoting something in my city and I got a phone call early one morning and they said, hey, can you do a photo shoot with these people from Nitro Circus? Like, you know, my boss had no idea who they really were. And I was big fans of the show. And they go, they're trying to promote their gig that they're doing here at our arena, you know, and they want to do a photo shoot with the mascot. And I'm like, count me in. And, you know, I thought it would be like a really extravagant thing. Like, you know, he would have, I've done a couple things with celebrities where, you know, they have their people there, their, I don't want to say handlers. I'm trying to think, you know, their manager and their posse. So like, yeah, I'm doing a photo shoot with them, but I can't get really close. I can't spend quality time with them or become friendly with them, especially like with players. But when I got here, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I do this photo shoot. It's literally just me, Travis Pastrana, Eric Rohner, who's one of his skiers from the show, and a photographer. And I'm like, this is awesome. So, wow. We just hung out all morning and then they actually got snowed in. And we shot some hoops and you know, just ate donuts and talked about mascot stuff for like 3 hours. So that was a cool highlight.
That's awesome. So he knows like who's in the suit and stuff.
Yeah. At that point, you know, and one of the things, so I think a lot of people can agree upon this. A lot of people are different on like when they talk in suit and when not to talk. And like, I'm one of those sticklers that I, even around people who know who I am, I try my best not to talk. Like if you're doing a photo shoot and they're, you know, doing something weird, or you have a brilliant idea and you're just having trouble pantomiming it. finally, you just break character and go, okay, like I'm gonna cut the shit. This is what we need to do. So in that instance, when I finally broke character was I was trying to get, I had a giant tricycle, and the Nitro Circus always does backflips on tricycles. and I had it in our storage room, and they just weren't getting, like I was telling one of my friends, my handler was there. I was like, you know, I was trying to pantomime, go get my tricycle. And they didn't understand what I was saying. So finally I popped my head off. And I'm like, go get my tricycle. And they're like, why? You know, they had no idea what I was talking about. And they go, why do we want a tricycle? And Travis Pastrana looks at her, and there's an older lady who's my handler. And he goes, oh, we love tricycles. So that was probably my favorite photo, was me riding a tricycle and Travis Pastrana standing on the back of it.
But how did she
at that point, what's that?
How did she not get tricycle? I don't know. I feel like that's pretty, you know, you squat down a little bit, you put your hands out, move your feet a little bit.
You would think that like being a mascot handler, anybody can do, but it in itself is a skill, because there are some people I get that they are the world's best interpreters. And all I have to do is the simplest gesture, and they know exactly what I want. It's not because they know me. It's because they're maybe just really good at charades. but then other people, they just don't get it. And you know, you're drawing a heart in the air, and they like for some reason can't grasp that you're telling a girl that you love them. You know, so
oh, man.
You just it's a skill in itself to be a mascot and a mascot handler.
Yeah, definitely. Alrighty, so do you want to share some, or if you have any other, you know, highlights, feel free to share. But if not, I would love a downside.
Mascotting itself is just one long highlight reel. Like even some of the silliest events, and that's why I refuse to leave it. You know, I've gotten a lot of different opportunities in my field, mechanical engineering, and I've kind of steered away or turned them down, or you know, not even applied. Because I'm like, I don't want to do it. You know, mascotting is one of the most creative outlets you can have. You know, like what started out was became an engineer because I wanted to be creative. And I found out mascotting is one of the most creative, fun things you can do with your artistic side. So every single event I do, I want to say, is a highlight. There are some bummers. There are some ones that are really, I've done some corporate events, you know, a lot of times. Your bigger teams will throw you into scenarios where there's nothing to work with. It's a bunch of full grown adults. And it's really hard to get them to crack a smile when they're at their law office, you know, filing paperwork. But other than that, most of the events are awesome. Like I've been part of a couple Make-A-Wish Foundation events, real heartwarming type things. And I've done some fundraisers, where at the end of the day, I'm like, you know, I'm in the right field, I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, but definitely.
As far as low points, like, you know, big law offices like that. And I think you touched on with a couple other guys, you know, there are days where you get some demon kids. and actually, I think something that maybe that wasn't touched on before. One of the most terrible kids you can have aren't even the ones that terrorize you. It's the ones that just love you so much, they won't leave you alone. And you like, say you're at an hour and a half event and they don't leave your side the entire time. And it's like, you're trying to do things, or especially at bigger games, like NFL events. It's like, I'm trying to high five everybody. I'm trying to take pictures. And in every single stranger's picture, there's a kid in the background, just a big old smile on his face. Like, you know, as much as I love to have super fans, sometimes those super kids that don't leave you alone, you know, they can ruin an entire event. Cause it's hard to have fun with what I'm doing when there's literally someone holding on my leg the entire time.
Oh man.
So, and then, you know, I think you had talked about before, like, you know, that, like, where are the parents? I don't know where your mom or dad is, or if I'm done with my event and I feel bad because I'm like, here's three kids following around and I have no idea where their parents are and I can't just disappear in a public place with these kids just walking around.
Yeah, yeah. So, trust me, that's like that teacher feeling where you're like, what classroom are you supposed to be in? You know what I mean? Yeah, so I totally relate. Do you
mascotting and teacher anything similar in that we have an undying care for, you know, our audience, which is primarily children.
Yeah.
So.
But what about those crazy adults? Do you have those certain people? I don't know. I guess. Yeah. Like adults that are just set on trying to find out who you are.
Yeah. For the most part, I love crazy adults. Crazy drunk adults are my favorite. Just because I can get away with some of the most inappropriate, funnest behavior, you know, as long as I can see there's no cameras around and just, you know, I don't cross a line. There's a line, but I tightrope walk it. Between what I shouldn't do and what I should. But yeah, there's adults that like were, especially when I do events, like at their offices or at their place of work, or if it's a smaller event, you kind of get, people hang out outside your locker room or wherever, you know, more often than not, you're the conference room you're changing in, just to see who you are. And more often than not, I can sneak away. But then sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and walk out and I'm like, oh God, were you so-and-so? And you're dripping in sweat and you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then you just walk right past them.
Yeah.
But they're not stupid. They know who you were, but I don't like to directly acknowledge.
Yeah. I don't know. I just want to clarify, like, you're doing a mascot podcast. You're not a mascot. You're just like a fan. Like I really, I'm not trying to figure out like, oh, like who's this or who's that. And I haven't had any of like the LA mascots. So, but it'll go like down in the DMs, you know what I mean? Where it's like, they'll DM me and these people and they're like, oh, like, who have you had on your show? And like, please tell me because I'm like a huge like this fan and like, I really want to know who that is. And I'm like, bro, I can't tell you, like, calm down, you know. And I appreciate you telling me like, you know, behind the scenes, like who you are just so that I get a visual and stuff. But I really, it's not about like, oh, figuring out like who every single mascot is. It's just, you know, getting these conversations in and these stories and promoting like your company and stuff. So if I can help you out with that, like that's what it is for me. So
yeah, absolutely. We're scratching each other's backs. And, you know, in the sense that you're maintaining several secret identities, you know, that makes you part of the fraternity in itself. So,
alrighty. So I don't know, is there anything else that you want to add? If you can go over your company accounts and stuff, like where to find you and how to contact you.
Yeah. So just, I would appreciate any kind of, my social media is kind of lacking because, like I said, for the most part, it's word of mouth, but and it's engineered to entertain. The two is a number two. I was originally calling myself Entertainment Engineering and then come to find out that's already a company out in Michigan. So I was really bummed about that. So I had to add a number two. So engineered to entertain with the number two. And that's word for word, letter for letter on Instagram. And then on Twitter, it's ENGR. Number two, entertain. And you can reach out through me. I have links on there for my Gmail account, which again is engineeredtoentertain@gmail. And I'm Jacob. And if there's any mascots out there listening that want some really cool stuff, you know, giant cell phones, popcorn guns, you know, I have links to all my stuff out there. And basically I tell everyone when they have an idea and I've made a lot of custom stuff. It's like, there's no limitation. I can make anything. Using my 7 years of engineering school to its full, you know, to its fullest. But yeah, that's about it.
And I will leave links and I encourage you guys to go check out the Instagram because I was checking out the stuff and I'm amazed at all that stuff. I love, you know, the props aspect of that. And yeah, like I said, I'll put in the links and I just on the website for this episode. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show. And I really appreciate your time. I know there was a few difficulties that, you know, we'll edit out, but thanks for being on
the show. There's a lot of editing. If you guys are listening to this and, you know, don't realize there's a lot of editing.
No, it's not too much. Trust me, but I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for just like sticking with it. And so, yeah, and have a great day.
Welcome to the fraternity.
Oh, thanks. So,
and if you do want to drop, you know, if you come out and start dropping where everyone's names are, you know, we're a great fraternity and we will find where you live. So
no. I won't, like, you. I'm not going to say anything. Yeah, it's funny because my friend was like, oh, if you ever interview so-and-so, and I was like, yeah,
I may, and you'll never find out.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you and good luck with everything.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
All righty. Thanks. That's it for episode number 7. Jacob was really cool to talk to, and I really encourage you to check out Engineered to Entertain. He actually sent me my own ring. I know I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. yeah, I got this really cool championship ring, has my logo on it and my name on it, and I love it. So thank you again. And thanks to everyone who's been listening and who's given me feedback or has just been on the show. When I first started, I thought the worst that would happen was that, you know, the mascots would just say, oh no, I don't do interviews, but nope. 35 ignored messages and emails later, you know, that's the worst that can happen. They just straight up ignore you. So even when you say no, like, don't worry, like, I appreciate that. And yeah, I just appreciate those messages that say, no thanks, or I don't do interviews. And I know I'm not the best interviewer, but I appreciate everyone who's just rolled with it and who keeps listening. I have pretty consistent downloads and I can like see where everyone downloads and stuff. So I finally reached Washington and Colorado, which is pretty cool because Washington's my favorite state. So I was like, yes, someone's finally listening over there. Well, just like one time, but it's cool. Maybe this episode I'll get some more. Don't forget to check out Mascot Diaries on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I still have some stickers that I can send you out for free. So just DM me or message me your address and I will get those to you. So take care and thanks for listening.